Good morning, church. I want to move this out of the way. We've got all this technology up here. I'm going to add a little bit more. Okay, well, this morning, I'm really excited about what God wants to communicate this morning. And I just want us to really just start off with a prayer this morning. But actually, before I do, I better not forget. There are a few announcements that I've been asked to just kind of remind you of. The first one is that there's the graduation party for Andrew Holden, and I think the Holdens are waiting back for some RSVPs about that, right? And so if you would, please get back to the Holdens as to your attendance to that graduation party, okay? They really need to know. And then the next one, next one is Tim Hawkins. We showed a clip a few months back about Christian comedian Tim Hawkins. A lot of you bought tickets. He's going to be here in November, not here, but in Vineland. And a bunch of us are going to go see him. He's hilarious. Anyway, if you signed up, you need to go ahead and begin to pay for the tickets. And so if you could please see one of our secretaries, Dottie Grillo, okay, and chat with her about it and give her some money for the tickets and all that, okay? Good deal. Now that that's out of the way, let's get into what God's got to say this morning. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning we're just humbled over the reality that that you're with us. The fact that you sent your Son Jesus, not just to save us, not just to pour His grace over us, but to usher in your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Him living in us and through us and around us in the church. And Father, we just pray this morning that your words may be clear, that your Holy Spirit speak, and it may not be me. And that folks, Father, whether they're Christians or not, members of this church or not, Father, can truly see what it is you're trying to communicate about your Holy Spirit this morning. We love you, God, and we thank you for all that you do. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We've had some great lessons thus far on the Holy Spirit. Our brother Greg Crinks kicked us off a few weeks back, and then brother Dan had a sermon also about the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just kind of figuring out how I'm going to follow up Greg and Dan and the Holy Spirit, right? Talking about the Holy Spirit. And so what I'd like you to do this morning, right off the bat, is to grab your Bible and go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. See, what's happening in Acts is really awesome. Jesus has already been crucified. He's already been resurrected. And in the beginning of Acts, He ascends back to heaven. He goes back to heaven. Okay? And He says something in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. He says something about a promise, a gift that God's given to His believers and to the disciples. And He says that gift is the Holy Spirit. And He says to them something to the effect of, you know, I want you to go here and wait for me there. And I'm going to give you something, this gift that the Father has promised. That's Acts 1, 4. And then if you connect the dots over to Acts 2, and a lot happens between Acts 1 and Acts 2, right? Peter and all the disciples, right? They're filled with the Holy Spirit. There's tongues of fire that come down, and man, it's some of it is just kind of inexplicable, right? Like for me to stand up here and try to begin to describe to you the tongues of fire and what happened on the day of Pentecost, that's not what this is about. I'm going to take you to the place where Peter begins to preach Jesus. After being filled with the Holy Spirit that was promised by Jesus and promised by the Father to be a gift, right? They begin to preach Jesus, specifically Peter. And there's thousands, thousands upon thousands of Jews in Jerusalem at the time, right? For the day of Pentecost. And like he begins to preach Jesus and things begin to happen. I'm not going to get into the sermon that Peter has, but people's hearts begin, something begins to happen in the hearts of people that begin to hear what Peter says about Jesus. And what he says is this, in a nutshell. God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, onto this earth, accredited by God through the miracles and the things that He did to be the Savior. And He was crucified. He was killed by you. And around Acts 2:38, right? Or 37, the people are cut to the heart and they say, like, they're cut to the heart. Like, you've ever been cut to the heart? You've ever had so much remorse about something you've done, something you've said, and you just can't sleep? If you've ever had experienced it, raise your hand. Man, it's terrible. It's a terrible feeling. And this is what's going on with these people. It says they're cut to the heart and they ask Peter, right? Like, what shall we do? Like, Peter, what are we going to do about this? I get what you just said. You talked to us about Jesus and we realize that we've crucified Him. We've crucified the Son of God. Now, what do we do? And so Peter replied, this is Acts 2:38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so typically, right, we would probably stop there and have some sermon about that. What you need to do. But that's not where we're going this morning. Where we're going this morning is about what happens next. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You ever received a gift that changed your life? Like, really changed your life? I'm not talking about like a puppy at Christmas, even though a puppy may change your life. I got a puppy when I was about 12 years old, and it was kind of life-changing, but not really. But let me tell you about this gift I received. I'm not even going to try to remember our age, but maybe in our mid-20s, Gina and I had just had our first daughter, Isabella, and we were in Panama City, and you know how it is, early marriage, first child, like, you know, finances are not that good. You're like eating PB&Js, right, every other night or so, and the other night you're eating ramen noodle, and so, which I love ramen noodle, by the way, but we only had one vehicle, and so, you know, like, it was hard to get around because I'm working, she's working, we're trying to, and so we were like, man, how are we going to do this? How are we going to be able to function? It's crazy, right? Most of the world doesn't even have one car, and we're trying to figure out how we can have two cars. But we're like, you know, we need another vehicle, we need another car. How many of you have been there, right? You're like, man, we're just kind of going all over the place. We've got to have another vehicle. And we didn't have the funds to be able to get another vehicle. Lo and behold, somebody in our church finds out about this need that we had. And they come up to us and they said, hey, Carlos and Gina, we've got this gift that we want to give you. And I'm like, okay, yeah, what is it? I'm so excited, you know, it's awesome. I'm thinking like it's, I don't know, some food, tickets to something. I mean, you don't think of these things. But they said, we want to give you our van. We want to give you our van. I said, you want to say what? It's crazy. We want to give you our van. We want to gift this to you. We want to give you our van. We know you have a need. I was just blown away. Gina and I were blown away. Chrysler Town and Country gold van. And man, we used that thing. I'm telling you, we put some mileage on that thing to Miami and back and forth. And man, it was just a blessing. And I said, you want to just give us that like a gift? He said, yeah. I said, there's no way I can do that. I mean, like, I got to buy it from you. It's just not right. He said, okay, I'll sell it to you. And I'm going, oh, great. Yeah, goodness gracious. Come on. Can we just go back to the gift? You know? He said, I'm going to sell it to you. I said, okay, how much? He said, give me a dollar. I'm not kidding you. He said, give me a dollar. I said, what? A dollar? He said, give me $1. That way we can go to the title company and we can actually say, I sold it to you. And so that if anybody at church or anywhere else says, hey, you know, who'd you get that van from? Or how much did you pay for that van? You could actually say, yeah, you know, like I bought it from someone. I bought it. He was thinking of me, right? And so that gift, like it changed a lot about life for us. I know it was just a van, it was just a vehicle. But a young couple, one child already, working, doing all kinds of things, it changed a lot of our life. And what I want to tell you this morning, church, is that God's got a great gift for you. He's got a great gift for you. And that gift, man, it changes everything. It does. It's a life changer. That gift is the Holy Spirit. It's a He, and He's not an it. He's a person. He's part of the Trinity. He's God in the Spirit. And His gift, man, it just changes everything about you and I in our lives. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is this gift. But you're probably going, Carlos, you know, like, I get the fact that the gift changes everything, but is there really changing that needs to occur? Well, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of changing that needs to occur. If you ever look in the mirror, if you're like me, I'll look in the mirror and I'll say, man, Carlos, God is still working in you. The Holy Spirit's still working in you, because there's some things that got to change about you. Right? Maybe a temper. Maybe a foul mouth. Maybe dishonest practices at work. Maybe treating our loved ones the way we shouldn't be treating them. I mean, I don't know. The list is endless, right? But in a room this size, there's all kinds of things that the Spirit is trying to do in us. There's changing that needs to happen. I want you to turn with me to Romans 8, and we'll talk a little bit about that change and that struggle. As you're turning there, Paul begins to write in Romans 8. And where we're going to start is in verse 5. We're going to start there. He begins to talk about this tension. There's a tension in our lives, in the lives of Christians, in the lives of people. There's tension. There's a struggle. And I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like this tug of war. How many of you played tug of war when you were kids or even now? Right? Tug of war, you're one end and you're pulling and you're pulling. You're trying to win. And then there's the other end. And over here, they're pulling and pulling. And they're trying to win. And the struggle, the tension within us, it's between the sinful nature and between what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in us. It's kind of like the story, this old story about the two dogs. There's a man talking to a buddy and he says, man, he asks him, how are things going? And he said, I don't know, things have been really tough lately. He says, what do you mean? He says, there's this struggle constantly going on within me. There's this tension that I'm feeling constantly. And he's like, what are you talking about? He says, man, it's just this, like, I want to do good, but then there's bad right there. Like, you've read Romans 7, right? What Paul talks about, this good and bad. It's like I'm in the middle of this tension. It just feels like two dogs fighting inside of me constantly. Constantly fighting. You ever seen a dog fight? And it's vicious. It's vicious. It says these two dogs constantly fighting. And his buddy says, wow, that's pretty vivid and intense. So who typically wins the dog fight, man? And the gentleman thought a little bit and he says, well, usually the dog that I feed the most wins the fight. And so my question is, like, who do we feed the most in our lives? Like, do we feed the Spirit or do we feed the sinful nature in us? And you know what I'm talking about, and Paul's going to describe it here. There's a constant yearning, a constant desire, a constant impulse, and a constant craving for the sinful nature. And the Spirit is constantly desiring something different. And so who do we feed the most? Well, let's read about this tension and this struggle. Romans 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Hopefully you're seeing the struggle. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. those controlled by the sinful nature, cannot please God. And so you see what Paul's trying to say. Like, if you set your mind on the sinful nature, guess who you're feeding? Sinful nature. If you set your mind on what the Spirit desires, guess what you're feeding? The Spirit. So powerful, right? You ever set your mind to something? You ever set your mind to something and you see and make sure that it gets accomplished? Or you see and make sure that you reach that goal? Something powerful about what we set our minds to. What we set our minds to. And so that's the struggle that Paul is talking about here is, you know, there's something at war within you, and it's who is in control of your mind and what it is that you're setting your mind to. We will be enemies of God as long as we keep turning control over to the sinful nature. I'm going to repeat that again, and I think it's up there. There we go. We will be enemies of God as long as we keep turning over control to our sinful nature. Does that resonate? I mean, is that I'm wanting that to just sit with you. Like, the more we keep the sinful nature in control and let it be in control, we continue to be enemies of God. That's what Paul is saying in Romans 8. I don't want to be an enemy of God. Friend, brother, sister, man, I don't want you to be an enemy of God. I don't want to be anybody's enemy. Not God's at all, even. I mean, I just don't want that. And so I want to ask you this. And I asked myself this question as I was preparing this. Are you tired? Are you tired of being controlled by the sinful nature? Are you tired of being controlled by the dog that constantly wins and it's not the one you want to win? Right? Romans 7, the things I want to do, I don't do. It's bad things that I don't want to do. Those are the things that I do do. Right? I'm sorry, I said do. So, are you tired? Are you tired of following your desires and your cravings and your impulses and your sin that bears guilt and shame and brokenness? Yeah, I'm tired. I'm tired of doing that. I want different. Like right now, as you think about yourself, as you think about your life and how you go about your day at school and at work and at home and your relationships with people, your spouses, right? Your children, right? The people that you come in contact with, people that you're constantly rubbing shoulders with, like your relationships and your relationship with God. Who's winning those battles? Like, is it the sinful nature? Because the sinful nature, all it does is destroy. And it brings in brokenness into your life. And that's not what God's gift is for you and I, right? That's not what He wants for His children. I mean, there's a passage that Jesus talks about that like, you as fathers, you know the good gifts you could give to your kids, right? Imagine God not willing to give us good gifts. No way. Like, who would give his child, right, stones if he asked for bread? Right? Imagine God. And so He gives us His Spirit, because the thing is, when the Spirit of God lives in you, it changes everything. It changes everything. Let's keep reading. Romans 8, we're going to pick up in verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. I don't know how many times he said it, but he repeated this quite often. The Spirit who lives in who? Who? You. He said it several times. But if the Spirit who lives in you, and the Spirit who lives in you, and the Spirit who lives in you, you think Paul, you think God is trying to get a message across to us? The Spirit of God lives in you. That changes everything. I mean, He's a promise. He's a promise to you and I that He would live in us. I want you to think about this. Wrap your mind around this. Jesus said, I've got to go so that He can come. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God made flesh in this world. Right? Do we all agree? Nod your head if you agree. Jesus is God made flesh in this world. The Holy Spirit is God made flesh in you. I mean, from the beginning of time, God has been wanting to get close to you and I. Closer and closer, right? Because you're one of His creations. You're one of His children. And as a father, I want to get close to my children. I want to be intimate with my children. I want to know about their lives. I want to know about what's going on. I want to be able to help them. I want to be there. And God, since the beginning, even though we've been pushing, He's been pulling. And so, you know, the people build the temple the tent of meeting and then the temple, and God dwells in there, and the temple is built, and that's all great, but it's not working. And then God says, I'm going to come myself into the world and be with them. And Jesus comes in, John 1, right? The Word made flesh. But then He says, that's not close enough. I want to be in them. I want to make my home in them. That's what Jesus says in John 14, right? If you obey my commands, if you love me, you obey my commands. And if you obey my commands, my Father and I will come and make our homes in you. John 14, around verse 23. I mean, God is making His home inside you. Can you wrap your mind around that? Just for a split second. The God that created everything. The God that like, my goodness, your children, my children, He created them in the womb of our wives, and they came out and they were people, and I mean nature and the sun, and can you wrap your mind around that? He's living in you. Can I get an amen? I mean, come on, church. That's God in us. And it changes everything. It changes everything. Let's keep going. Got this quote here from Francis Chan. If you would go to that quote, there we go. The Holy Spirit is as essential to a believer's existence as air is to staying alive. That's how important the Holy Spirit living in us is. But I want to reiterate, and I want to stress this idea of the Holy Spirit living in you. Because a lot of us think about that and we go, well, living, well, what does that mean? Is He just kind of staying over the night? Is He kind of just kind of over for a sleepover? You know, are we asking the Holy Spirit to come and have a play date with us? You know, no, the Holy Spirit wants to make His home in you. He wants to go ahead and get in there. Put the luggage down, right? You've ever visited somebody and maybe stayed a little too long, right? And you said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and make this my home. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to take control. Isn't that what we're talking about? Isn't that what Paul is referring to? Who are you controlled by? Is it the sinful nature? Is it the Holy Spirit? He wants to take control. He wants to take residence in us. This doesn't mean adding a little Jesus and adding a little church to our lives. A lot of times we think that becoming a Christian means, oh, I'm just going to add a little church to my life, just kind of like Emeril Lagasse, right? A little bam into our life. No, it's not about adding a little ingredient of Jesus in church to our lives. It's about letting Jesus take over completely. Here's the issue. Some of us like to be in control. Some of us like to be in control of our own lives, right? We don't want to relinquish control over. Not to the Holy Spirit, who's going to lead us. And we're going to talk more about that next week, but who's going to lead us to some things that are a little tough, a little difficult. No, we don't want to relinquish control. We'd rather stay in control a lot of the times. As a matter of fact, this idea of following Jesus to a lot of us really seems like this, that we ask Jesus to come follow us. Jesus, come follow us on our journey. Why don't you hop on our bus? Because we've got this journey of life and we want you to ride along. Because things may get a little bumpy and we just want you to be there. No. Jesus says, you've got to follow me. You've got to let me take over. You've got to let me be in control. But we know this, right? We know that if we let God take control, things would be a whole lot better, right? Amen? But the problem is that it's a little tough to let go of that. It's a little tough to let go of the control. Because what we're admitting is, if we let go of the control, that we belong to someone else. 1 Corinthians 6, right? About verse 19 and 20. Paul talks there. He says, look, you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore, right? Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. You are the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your what? With your bodies. You were bought with a price, church. You were bought with a price, and the price was Jesus on the cross. That's a steep price to pay so that the Holy Spirit can live in us. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. If you would turn with me there, I want your eyeballs to see these verses. Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Here we go. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order, listen to this. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So that by faith, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Like Jesus had to die so that this great gift could come to us. He had to pay the price to be cursed on a tree in order so that you and I can be His. Be His. For what reason? See, the Holy Spirit isn't trying to make you morally better. The Holy Spirit isn't trying to make you more effective religiously. The Spirit is trying to make you more Christ-like. And that's painful. Like, we can all be more religious. We can all be morally better. That may not be too painful. We know a lot of people who are very moral. We know a lot of people who are very religious. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and just say this. You know, a lot of times we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and we go, man, if you got the fruit of the Spirit, you got the Spirit in you, right? Well, I don't know about that. A lot of times we gauge people. Well, do they have these nine things? Because if they have these nine things, then the fruit, then the Spirit is dwelling in them, right? Well, I don't know about that. I don't think we could gauge or use the fruit of the Spirit to measure how much we don't or do have of the Holy Spirit.
Don't you know people? Don't you know people who are very gentle and kind that aren't even Christians? I know them. My sister was an atheist. She died an atheist. The most loving, gentle, kind, giving human being that I've been able to interact with in my life. She wasn't a Christian. She was an atheist. So we need to quit measuring the Spirit in us by the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the all telltale sign. What is? Who's controlling you? Who do you belong to? Who's ruling your life? We keep talking about the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is the reign and the rule of God in our lives. Well, who's ruling today? Hey, who's come in? Who's come in and set the bags down, right? That's the question we got to ask ourselves. The Holy Spirit, and I'm about done. But this is the climactic point, I think, when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does change everything. He changes our death to life. Did you catch what Paul says towards the end there in Romans 8? Like the Holy Spirit switches everything. Like He makes a drastic shift in our state, in our status, if He's living in us. If I follow Paul correctly, he says that you're dead. Your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness when the Holy Spirit is living in you. So like, yeah, our bodies, we're going to die. But inside our spirits, we're going to live because of the Spirit living in us, right? Like, we're good with that. We get that. But He says there's even more. There's even better. He says, guess what? When the end comes, your body will also be alive if the Spirit is living in you. Wow. Can I explain that? No, I can't. It's kind of like trying to explain Jesus, right? When He resurrected. People saw Him. Thomas put his finger, right, in the nail marks. So he was body, he was living, but he was also walking through walls. I can't explain that. And this is what the Holy Spirit changes. He changes everything, death to life. Who runs your life? Who controls you? Who you belong to? Let me ask you this. Do you desire or even dream of a better life? Maybe more peace. A better life. The Holy Spirit will change everything. And I think a lot of times in our churches, we're a little afraid of talking about the Holy Spirit. Because we'll begin to think, oh, what's going to happen here? We're going to be like them, the church across the road. I mean, what's going to happen now? Somebody's going to bust out a snake, you know? I'm going to be speaking in tongues. What's going to happen now? And I think what's going on is we don't know enough of the Holy Spirit. And when we don't know enough about something or someone, we get fearful and we shy away. But the Holy Spirit is God's great gift for you and I. And He's living in us. He's living in us. The Holy Spirit living in you changes death to life by rebirth, renewal, regeneration. And I really want to get to the scripture, right? Rebirth, renewal, regeneration. That's kind of quite extensive, but you know, being born again. Remember John 3, you must be born of the Spirit and the water. That's what Jesus says to Nicodemus. So there's rebirth, there's a renewal, regeneration that happens within us, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 and so many other passages that we're being renewed daily through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But I want to get to Titus, because Titus really, it's beautiful. Go to Titus chapter 3, please. If you've got a highlighter, you want to highlight this. You want to underline it, highlight it. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. This is us. This is us right here. Okay? Every one of us. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously. Generously. Don't you love that word? Like when you go to a restaurant and they're generous with their food. You know what I'm saying? Like you go to McDonald's, you ever gone to McDonald's and you order a large fry and it looks more like a small fry? Okay, that's not God. That's not God. So don't go to McDonald's. No, just kidding. That's not God. God is saying, I'm going to be generous with my spirit to my children, to my believers, to the people that follow me. I'm going to be generous and I'm going to pour out my spirit unto my people so that they know that I haven't left them alone. So that they know that they have a helper and a comforter and a guide in this life. This is what that means. So He gives generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having hope of eternal life. We're going to talk more about becoming heirs next Sunday. But isn't that beautiful, church? Isn't that beautiful? That this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. A regeneration. So I want to ask you this. Are you different? Are you different because God lives in you? Do people see something different about you? Because God's made His home in you. Are you saddened by the fact that we've made the Holy Spirit sad because of our sin? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't quench the Holy Spirit's fire. That one sin that's unforgivable has to do something with the Holy Spirit, right? Don't put out the Spirit's fire in you and what God is doing in you through Him. I think a lot of times we're more saddened and grieved and concerned about what others think of us and our God, than us being more concerned and grieved over how much we're grieving the Holy Spirit of God because of our sin. I think we care a lot of times a lot more about what people are going to think about us than what God thinks. God's got a great gift for you. If you walk away with anything this morning that I've said, if it's one thing, please let it be that statement. God's got a great gift for you, and that changes everything. The question is, will you accept the gift? You ever returned a gift? Have you ever gotten that birthday gift or that Christmas gift? You know, from grandma or whoever, and oh boy, man, it's a tie again, you know. It's the socks again. It's the pack of underwear again. Or nothing against all those things. We need them. I'm wearing some this morning. But you ever returned? You ever returned something? And you ever think, just slightly, at the counter, what might the person that gave you that gift, What might they feel if they knew I'm returning the gift they gave me? You ever thought of that? Raise your hand. I don't want to be the only one. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking, wow, they've, because I've returned some things that my mother has given me, and I'm returning it. I'm just like, man, I know she's going to ask me, how do you like that sweater? Well, can you imagine God giving you a gift and you returning it? Just saying, God, I'm sorry, it's not my thing, God. It doesn't fit me, God. It's not my style, God. I'm going to return it. God's got a great gift for you. What's your role in all that? Respond to it. Did you see? Did you remember when we read Acts 2? Did you see how the people responded to what God was giving them? It says they were cut to the heart. It says that they turned to God. They repented, right? They broke up with sin in a way. They broke up with sin. And they turned to God. And then it says that they were baptized. They were united with Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection for the washing of their sins. Regeneration. Born of the water and the Spirit. The Spirit that gives life. You understand something, that the Spirit was involved in the creation of the world? The Spirit was involved in the conception of Jesus? The Spirit conceived Jesus. The Spirit conceived the church in Acts 1. The church was born through the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the gift. He's given it for you. Will you respond to the gift of God? I know you need a helper. I do. I need a comforter. I want my life to change. I want to be different. I don't want sin to control me. I don't want to belong to sin anymore. I don't want to belong to what sin gives, and that's death. I want life for me and my wife and my children and this church and this community in South Jersey and as far as the eye can see. Do you want it for you? Is the question. Do you want it for you? Let's pray. Father, this morning we are in awe of Your Holy Spirit and what He does in the life of His children, in the life of Your people. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for turning our back for so long now on Your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for not acknowledging that You've taken residence in us, God. Father, we want You to come in and we want You to do like an extreme makeover. You know, we want You to just come in and start tearing wallpaper down and start gutting the house and just building anew through Your Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us this morning. Forgive us. We love You and we appreciate and just are blown away by Your grace and love for us. And so this morning as we leave, Father, we leave as people being offered a gift. And there may be responses to that gift, and they may not be public. But Lord, You know who they are. You know the hearts here. You say to put out Your word, and Lord, You're going to do the work. And so we've done that this morning. Father, we love You. And I thank You personally for Your Holy Spirit that lives in me and who's communicated this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.